How is everybody today? Well, good, good, good. Hope you had a chance to make it to the Reconnect with Jesus meetings. Last night was exceptional in the fact that he presented some non-biblical secular evidences for the life of Jesus. And the fact that he said no ancient history scholar would ever deny the existence of Jesus because there's enough evidence for him. I said, well, it took a college education to figure that out, did it? But it is nice to know that academia would not deny the existence of Jesus. Unfortunately, there are some things that they will deny, and I will not get into that. But if you were there last night, you know exactly what I'm talking about, even the Christians. So, this week I was reading something, and when I was reading a letter from a youth pastor, Christian author, to his students. And as I was reading that, it was a challenge to me. And anytime something's a challenge to me, well, you guys need to look out because I'm going to challenge you with it, you know. So I'm going to read some bits and pieces of his letter. And this is a letter to the students that are just now beginning school. So consider yourself to be a student when we get to that point. But what he has to say is very, very, very important. And we'll get to that. But first of all, I would like to read to you a scriptural foundation for what we're going to talk about. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. We should keep that in mind. Anytime we're doing what's right in the sight of God, we'll be blessed. And then it goes on to say, have no fear of them or those who persecute you for doing the right. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who ask you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is the better to suffer for doing good if it should be God's will than for doing evil. Now, what we're going to focus on when we get there is verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this Christian author who has challenged us. May I be able to communicate Peter's intent and the author's intent as we go through this talk today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Most all of us would be willing, given the opportunity, to give a reason for our hope in our salvation, wouldn't we? We would have some kind of a response. But most of the time, when somebody challenges us on our faith, what happens? Let's just be honest. Yeah. Thank you, Ken, for being honest. We either want to get aggro and come after them, or we get nervous. And if I get nervous, I start, or my temperature goes up and my volume goes up. And generally, as my volume goes up, the intelligence goes down. Keep that in mind. Anytime the volume goes up, your intelligence quote just kind of disappears. So keep it in mind. But most of us will give some kind of a response. But Peter gives us something here that most of us miss. He says we are to give a defense of our faith with gentleness and respect. Think about that. Do we respond to someone who is challenging us or questioning us gently and with respect for them? I think most of us would miss out on that one. Because we reach into our pocket and we pull out our two or three little sugar sticks that we come and pull out and we shake at people whenever they question us, and most of them are to devalue the individual rather than to respond concerning our faith. But Peter says, don't do that. He says, with gentleness and respect. Anybody else here going to be challenged with this? I am. Now, let me show you how this applies in our own lives. So let's just make it practical in our current situations. What if a person from a different faith or even from a belief system that is considered to be a cult challenges us? Will we respond with gentleness and respect to them? Most of us, you know, when we know when some people come by the door, we have our little pat answer. Some people, you know, sends them on the road. Some people, best thing to do is buy them a cup of coffee and, you know, make a cup of coffee or tea and sit down and talk with them. But any kind of response that a real Christian should do, even if it's with somebody who's in this way off, as far as we're concerned, belief system, we're supposed to respond to them with gentleness and respect. Do we do that? Let's take it a step further. Perhaps the person that's challenging us is dressed in traditional Muslim clothing with the burqa and all the, and they're challenging our faith. How are we going to respond to that individual, even though they're very obviously Muslim? We want to get with them, don't we? Come on, folks, be with me. You do. You want to get with them. But Peter said, even if they're Muslim, do it with gentleness and respect. Let's take it a step further. Perhaps this individual who's challenging your faith is very obviously from the gay community. Very obviously. And they challenge your faith. How are you going to respond? Oh, well, that's probably what we're going to do. You know, yeah. But Peter says, do it with gentleness and respect. You see how this is kind of hard-hitting today? Most people will say, I just want to get them saved. Well, no, just don't waste your time then. Jesus said, first of all, you love that person. Doesn't matter if they're Muslim or gay or whatever belief system. It doesn't matter at all. You, as a born-again believer, are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love Him. So, love Him. Amen? We're to love that person, then respond to them with gentleness and respect. So folks, I think we need to change our approach. But why should I respond to them with gentleness and respect. Well, all we need is the fact that Peter said for us to do so, all right? And Jesus said for us to love them. But normally when we come shooting at somebody, we are protecting ourselves. We're kind of lifting ourselves as, you know, I'm ready for you. I'm going to shoot you down. But Paul said something in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Listen to this. Are you ready? This is heavy. But in humility, count others more significant than you. Would you do that to somebody of a different faith? Would you do that for somebody of a different lifestyle? Would you consider that person more important than you? Well, the truth of the matter is, at that point in time, they're probably more important to God than you are. Let me explain. Are you going to heaven? You sure? Well, you're already in. Perhaps they're not. So it's much more important to God to get them in than to appease your bias. So we're to approach them with gentleness and respect, considering them to be more important than we are. I know this is hard to do sometimes. You know, working at Garden Village, I'm duty bound to keep myself under control. But sometimes I have some people come in and boy, it's hard. They're going after me. When somebody's going after you, it's that fight or flight instinct kicks in. You want to... it's probably the best to leave the room, you know. But sometimes they come after me. I remember one guy, he went after me. I started talking to him about the Lord, and boy, he went after me big time. Only trouble is he did it in the crowd. So I said, hold on just a second. I said, why don't I come to your room and we'll talk about this? But let's just not do it here. Yeah, all right, he says. So go to my room, and he gets started again. After me, you know. But I made a conscious effort to keep my control, and I kept, you know, encouraging him, dropping a hint. And, you know, after a couple of months, he and his wife started coming along to our services. And then guess what? It wasn't long till this guy gave his heart to the Lord. And then he became one of our greatest missionaries there. But I approached him with gentleness and respect. Rather than fighting back, I pulled back and kept dropping seed. He came to Christ. I didn't do it. He did. You see the difference? Because generally when we come out with guns blazing, your opportunities are gone at that point. Yeah, you probably saved face, but you've lost your opportunity to lead them to Christ. We need to be careful. Sometimes people who are involved in defending their faith or sharing the reason that for what they believe, often when people are involved in evangelism, all they're wanting to do is lead somebody to Christ to where they can go around bragging about it, okay? That's not the right attitude. Don't be leading somebody to the Lord just to where you get another notch on your gospel gun. Wrong attitude altogether. The real reason for somebody leading somebody to Christ is because you love that individual as God loves that individual, and you want them to have the hope of eternity that you have. That's your motive. I mean, heaven's going to be a pretty good, you know, you've heard about it. It's a pretty good sized place, so there's plenty of room. So let's take as many people with us when we go. But sometimes there's another reason we don't approach people with love and peace and gentleness and respect and things like that. And it's because we don't have any love and peace in us anyway. You see, we're supposed to be people of faith, people of peace, people of gentleness. Regardless of how some people paint Christianity, we are supposed to be people known for faith, hope, and love. Gentleness. You know the fruits of the Spirit? That's what we're supposed to be known for. We are to live in a positive way. Listen, we are to live in such a positive, encouraging way that when people see us, they want to know what's different about us. And they'll come and ask. Remember what Peter said? Be ready to have a reason for the hope within you when people ask of you. Have you ever had anybody recently come up and ask you what the difference is about you? Boy, there's no greater compliment than somebody who is not with the Lord comes up and asks you what's different about you. But the only way you can see that is by the lifestyle that you live. Perhaps we should consider our lifestyle. Well, now let me get to that letter that I was talking about. This is what he wrote. For those Christian students who have already started back to school, or will be starting tomorrow, you are heading into the greatest mission field you'll most likely ever have in your whole life, your school. Now listen to this. He says, it will be filled with students who since kindergarten have been taught that they are an evolutionary accident and that they have no plan or purpose for their life. That's what people are told today. They just happened. There is no real meaning for their life. These people, they are in a constant pursuit to find something that will give their lives meaning, and they will try and fill that empty void in their lives with all kinds of different things. Relationships, alcohol, drugs, pursuit of power, influence, or money. That's what people try to fill their lives with, isn't it? This author continues, the people will try all these things and they will slowly find out that each of these pursuits will never fill the ache and the longing in their hearts. It will only make it worse. They will face heartache and consequences for what they pursue. Some of them will get to a point when they realize that there must be something more in life. And when they do, they'll begin to look around searching for that something more. Now listen, folks, this is to the students, but it applies to us. When they're seeking that something and their scrutiny falls on you, will they see someone who is living a life of peace and joy? When somebody's looking for real meaning in life, and they look at you, will they see a good example of peace and joy? Probably not. Why? Why? Why do we as Christians who are blood bought and our sins forgiven and we're going to live forever and we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us and motivating us and He is filling us and empower us, why do we live such a sad, disappointed, disgruntled life? No wonder people don't want to be Christians. Because Christians don't act like Christians. We've bought into the way the world lives. We should live like Jesus. Was He ever disgruntled and disappointed? Or was He always encouraging people, meeting needs? Folks, when people look at us, they need to see somebody who has real peace, love, and gentleness in their life. And if they see it, guess what they're going to do? Excuse me just a second. Would you mind telling me what's different about you? Then you'd be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you with sinfulness and fear. But you got to live that way first. The author continues talking to his students. When they look at you, will they see that you're living a radically different life than all the other kids at school? Well, here's a big one. Will they notice that you treat them differently than everyone else? Maybe you even treat them better than everyone else. Do we treat unsaved people better than everybody else treats them? You see how hard this hit me? Folks, this is important. He continues, will they notice that the words that come out of your mouth and the things that you do are so different than anyone else's that they'll be drawn to the Holy Spirit who is living within you? Will they begin to see the hope that you have inside of you because you have allowed Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Will they see the shining light through this incredibly dark world of ours? Will they be drawn to your light? How about it, Christian? When people look at us, are they drawn to you? Or are they repulsed? It's gotten quiet in here. Say amen or oh me, I'm not sure which. You see, I had to do some self-evaluation to myself. I'm notorious, and I've mentioned this before, so it's nothing new to you. I'm notorious for having something on my mind. And when I have something on my mind, this is the way I walk. Do I look like a person of peace and joy? No. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, I say, yeah, what do you want? Straighten up your look, Tony. Well, folks, we need to really, I know you can have a bad day sometimes. Anybody ever have a bad day? The problem is, when you have a bad day as a Christian, don't wallow in it. I mean, David had bad days all the time, and he spelled that out in each psalm. But at the end of the psalm, he always showed how God brought him out, and he started praising God after the pain. Folks, we need to be those people who give God the glory in the most difficult times. Nobody wants to follow somebody who has a constant frown on their face. The old song, if you're happy, notify your face. Take that frown off. Put a smile in its place. If you love Jesus, then show it to the human race. If you're happy, notify your face. Yeah, Tony, why don't you apply that? Now some instruction from this author that he gave to his students that I'm going to bring to you. He says this. This is what will help us have this kind of an attitude. He said, firstly, every day, before you leave your house for school, ask God to allow you to be a witness to at least one person that day. What a novel idea. How many of us every morning ask God to give us the opportunity to be a witness to one person? Anybody? Is it any wonder that he doesn't? He goes on to say, open up your Bibles daily and start to get to know your Savior so that you'll become more and more like him. You see, I really think our Bible studies should be more to see and understand and know the life of Jesus to where we can mimic him or follow him. So I think maybe you need to get into your Bible, which is a good thing, you know, all the time, is get in your Bible. But find out how we, you, me, can be more like Jesus. Don't you know that that was God's intention for us? Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's you and I. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. So folks, I think probably what we need to do is when we get up in the morning and get ready to leave the house, is ask God, God, give me an opportunity to be a witness to one person. I challenge you to do that. But let me give you just a little bit of a disclaimer. I don't think God will organize the opportunity if he knows you won't take advantage of it. So be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you, and then ask him for the opportunity. Simple little thing. So pray and ask God, God, give me that opportunity. And then spend a few minutes reading about Jesus, to where you can better exemplify his life. But let's back up. The author said, when people's gaze falls on you looking for a reason in this life, will they find someone who is living with hope and joy? Now listen to me closely. Perhaps you're a Christian who has lost your hope and joy. I think the first thing you need to do with God is to sit down with him and have him restore that hope and joy. Remember David, after he sinned and he repented and he came back to the Lord, he said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Maybe you've lost that joy. You're not going to be a person of hope and joy if you don't have hope and joy in your life. So before you go to bed tonight, or even when you put your head on your pillow, ask God, restore my joy. Give me that whatever it is that made Jesus so attractive, and let my life be a light in this world. So ask God to restore to you that joy and hope. Then ask him to give you the opportunity to share your faith somewhere. A little bit of a warning. I do know when we decided to take a stand for Jesus and say something about him that not everybody will agree with you. Matter of fact, you're probably going to receive a little bit of persecution. But you remember what Peter said? Don't worry about them. You're going to be blessed because of your effort. So, you know, put up with the persecution. I think even the Bible says, for those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So it's going to come around, so don't be surprised when it does. And when it does, don't go, oh me, I'm being martyred. No, you ain't. You're just going through whatever Christian goes through. But you know what? Whatever the persecution may be, it's worth it for those golden opportunities when you can share your faith and you may see tears well up in someone's eye and you lead them in the sinner's prayer and they come to the Lord right before you. Nothing more sweet than that. So when you, here's your action plan. If you don't have the peace and joy, ask God to restore that. He may point some things out that needs to be dealt with first. So deal with them and then ask him to restore the joy. Remember, David repented of his sin first, and then he said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." So, get right with God. Let him give you the joy back. Secondly, ask God to give you the opportunity to witness to at least one person during the day. And then expect him to do so. Most of the time we pray, "Lord, give me the opportunity," and then we think secretly, "Lord, I really don't want to anyway." Say, "Lord, give me that opportunity, and Lord, I'll promise you, I'll take advantage of it." And you just might see people coming to Christ. Matter of fact, if all of us started doing that, it wouldn't be 6 months and we'd have to find another building somewhere. But isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Now everybody can look at me. Say, "Praise the Lord." You're still going to heaven. You're still forgiven. We're still going to live forever. But folks, let's take the opportunity to take as many people with us as possible, okay? Because that's what God saved us for. Let's stand. Amen. That's good. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for this Christian author that has challenged me as he's challenged his students. And hopefully we've transferred that challenge to everyone here. Father, help us to live our lives in such a way that when people look at us, they'll see someone of hope, joy, gentleness, love. And may it rise within them to question us why we're different. And in those moments, Lord, help us to respond for the reason that is within us. And that's the love of Jesus for us. So, Father, we ask that you just empower our efforts and give us fruit for our labor. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.